Anyone who would stand as a spokesman for the Lord is in profound need of His presence. And I need His help this morning. And we do, every one of us does today. I was thinking about some of the last words Brother Michael said before we went to prayer about a little thought about it matters what we do or what we think. Things, it really matters. A lot of times those little things has immense effect on our life. And it matters what the preacher says. And it matters on what you hear and take. It matters. It has great effect on our life. My desire today is to promote my dear Lord. You know, He Himself commended Himself to us in that while we were yet sinners, He gave His own Son, and Christ loved us so much that He died for us that we might be saved. And we should never allow that to get very far from our thinking, from our mind. That ought to form and shape all the things that we do in life. Yes, I know, and I'm like you. I deal with the affairs of life. I deal with the busyness. I deal with the work that we have to do. We have to go through life. But when all that we do, oh, let's ask the Lord to help our hearts and our mind to be in tune with heaven. We want to be led by His Holy Spirit. I'd like for you to turn with us in the Scripture over here to Hebrews, the 10th chapter. I believe that every one of us needs to have a firm foundation to build our life on. God doesn't want us to just be haphazard, to be scattered. I think I'll try this for a little bit, and then maybe if that didn't work, I'll try this. You know, people are doing that with their marriages today. They think, well, if I try a little bit, if it doesn't work, well, I'll try something else. I want to tell you, folks, that's not God's plan. He wants you and I to be committed. And He wants you and I to be focused and committed when we claim to be a Christian. Not going to take His name in vain. Amen. When you say, I'm a Christian, you be that. With all your heart. Now, by God's grace that He imparts to us, we can be that also. Amen. So I thank Him for that. Well, I thought of how sometimes that we are in, and I think we're affected with the ease of the time we live in. We can go to a little box over there, either on our countertop or above our range, and we can punch a few buttons, and right in a little bit we can have popcorn. You ever heard of that? The microwave. It's kind of easy. A lot of things go quick anymore. And I like this air conditioning in here probably as much as what you do, if not maybe a little bit more. I remember when I was young, we did not have air conditioning. I remember the first house I went into, air conditioning in the summertime, and I thought, my, I'm about ready to freeze in here. I was used to the heat outside. Folks, I like it. But be careful that all the ease of life doesn't train us to deal with God or with the race of our lifetime. Folks, our soul's important. Let's be careful that we don't let the ease of our life filter in to how we deal with the needs of our soul. Let's push. Let's be arduous. Let's be very diligent in our pursuit of godliness. Don't let the devil get a hold of us and get us to calm down, or, well, let's say it this way, to ease up. Let's be vibrant. Let's with all of our heart, pursue after godliness. Not that long ago, my wife read a little statement to me that I thought was had a lot of import. And I will try to put some of it to you in my words. Talked about the Christian experience or the Christian ideal, holiness, living for the Lord. The man said, the Christian ideal has not been tried and found wanting. It has been found difficult and largely left untried. Folks, it works. And I hope, let those thoughts right there sink in, because that's really a lot of time where the problem is. God's Word's still true. Holiness is still right. And God wants you and I to give our all to it. Alright, over here in the 10th chapter of Hebrews, there's a little scripture here that says, "Cast not away, therefore, your confidence." And I want to think about that part of that scripture now for a while this morning. What is it that causes confidence, that inspires confidence? Is it just because I decide that, oh, I want to have confidence in you? Is that sufficient? Well, it's not. Generally, what causes us to have confidence is when we see a pattern, a track record, something that I know. There's something here that I can count on. And God wants that type of a thing to be built in our life. He wants there to be a confidence. He wants there to be a faithfulness. He wants there to be something created in our life that goes beyond the word of our mouth. And it's very easy, folks, for us to say, "I'm a Christian today." That's an easy thing to say. Most of the world says that. Did you know that? Most, at least what we call Christian in the United States, most of them claim to be Christians. By and large, the greatest majority claim to be Christian. And most of them, we have a hard time having confidence in their testimony, don't we? Why? Because somehow it doesn't line up with godliness. Cast not away, therefore. Now, confidence is something that is built in a marriage. What would a marriage be without confidence? How is it built in a marriage? There's a relationship goes on there. There's a communing. There is a fellowship. There is something that begins to happen between these two that have entered into a marriage. They begin to commune with one another. There's a love begins to be kindled there. And as that grows and as they go on in life, folks, marriage is much better than the first day you say, "I do." That's a wonderful time. Don't get me wrong. But as you go on and develop in your relationship with each other, I want to tell you, young folks, if the Lord goes ahead and gives you a companion, I want you to know, if you do it God's way, your marriage is going to go sweeter and sweeter as you go. You're going to have something there that is precious. And it is something where confidence is built, where a sweet communion is built. Folks, that's exactly what God wants to have with you as an individual. He wants there to be some communing. He wants there to be a confidence built. We see the devil attacking today the church, and this isn't new. He's done it throughout history. But he is raging today against the church, and part of what Brother Ed was talking about last night, the devil is trying to attack this area. He wants to cool us down. He wants to take the urgency, the great desires of our hearts, he wants to take that and make it where it's not that important anymore. Have you heard that argument? Oh, it's not that important. And when we begin to converse and talk with somebody about something, that's not that important. It seems like it can almost make sense to our mind. Remember what David said? He said, "My feet had well nigh slipped till I went into the sanctuary. I went in there where I got alone with the Lord. And then I began to commune with Him, and I began to see, I began to realize. I saw the man spreading himself like a green bay tree. It looked like everything was going well for him." I want to tell you, sometimes that's a lot of show. But oh, when you see somebody getting alone with the Lord, and the blessings, the wholeness of the Lord getting painted over their life. And the glory and the victory that I'm not talking about just everybody in here jumping and shouting. I'm talking about the victory is when you're in there in the battle and you're going on through. That's the victory. It's one thing to come here and hold up our hands and, oh, I don't want to discourage us. Amen. You hold your hands up to these songs. You say amen. You rejoice in the Lord. But oh, when the battle comes, what we need to have victory is when we're alone with the Lord and we feel the presence and filling our heart and we go through. One time, my great-grandpa Johnson, he used to work on a train. Somebody asked him, Brother Johnson, how do you know when that old engine has power? How do you know when you have enough power to do what you need to do? Is it when you ring that bell? He said, no, it's not when you ring that bell. Is it when you pull on that horn and you hear that whistle blow? Does that mean you have... No. He said, it's when I pull on that old throttle and I look back and see the whole thing moving. Folks, God wants to empower you and I. Don't quit shouting. Don't quit praising the Lord. Don't quit holding up our hands and song. Amen. You keep that up. But folks, when you hit the load, keep on going. Amen. Don't stop. Young folks, cast not away this area where God wants to build in your life a great confidence. Help me clarify this, Lord. Young folks, there's a relationship that the Lord wants to have with you, and not just young, but all of us. There's a relationship the Lord wants to have with you where we commune with Him personally and we get to know Him and we recognize His character and we're filled with His Holy Spirit, and He empowers you and I to meet the problems of life and face it head on and not quail at it. Oh, dear ones, David could have easily turned around like everybody else, but he caught a vision that God wanted him to have. And it went beyond. He said, there's a cause greater than me. And folks, yes there is. God wants you and I to catch His voice. Sometimes there are people selling their relationship so cheaply. Selling it for a little bit of pleasures of the world. Sometimes you say, well, that's code for what? Pleasures of the world. Folks, that's code for a lot of things. There's a lot of pleasures out there God doesn't want you and I to be involved with. And if the minister sat up here and tried to identify everything individually, we'd spend a long time. But God wants to let you know that personally. Amen. It may be important for there to be some teaching on some things. I'm not saying we shouldn't do that. But folks, God wants to convince you. God Himself wants to communicate with you and drive home some convictions in your heart that you won't back up on. You need an anchor. You need a foundation. You need to have something that you can have confidence in. It worked for old Brother Sammons. I've seen some things my grandma had. I've seen her go through some hard things, folks. I saw her go through it right. It worked for her. I've seen it happen. Those folks are dead and gone, and I've seen people here today going the same way. And it's working for them. They have a clearness. When you come up and say, Brother, how you doing? They say, oh, I'm blessed in my soul. Feel good down here. Oh, I might have some problems in my body. Might have a lot of things going on. I wish it was different, but I'm blessed. I feel clear. If I lay down my head tonight, I know I could say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Folks, that means something. Oh, you young ones, I'm burdened that the Lord will get a hold of your hearts. Now, I'm not saying, don't get me wrong, I'm not accusing you of not, but I want you to get a hold of this thing. Oh, we won't be that many years till we're going to be dead and gone. And if the Lord lets time go on, faces are going to change. Oh, but God wants His truth to remain. It is the same. He wants you and I to get a hold of it just like the old brothers and sisters did. Amen. Cast not away your confidence. Oh, the devil would like to get us sidetracked in all the human argument of trying to figure out exactly why not, or why this, or why that. And there's a place to examine that and try to get some understanding. But I want to tell you, this is where you need to go first. Go and say, Lord, how can I be like You? Clothe me with Your godliness. Father, I want to behold Your face. And there are people cheaply casting aside and selling that experience for a little of the pleasures of this world. I want to tell you, dear ones, when that happens, you'll pay a price in your relationship with the Lord. And this is what happens. You remember the story of Samson? He was endued with great physical might. Said the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Do you remember? A lion came out. You remember the story. He had, one time they pinned him up and thought, we've got you now. They put him inside of a walled city with gates that was mighty. Strong, big old gates. Got up in the middle of the night, picked the gates off the hinges, put them on his back, and packed them up on top of a mountain. Why? Because the Lord led him. How would a man like that fall? Because he neglected his relationship with the One who empowered him. He neglected that. What happened as it began? Do you believe, you remember all the things that began to happen to him? The one said, what's the secret of your strength? I want to know. You remember that? Over and over again. And once he would tell her a story about, if you just did this, and she did that, don't you think it'd be warning enough to a man to let him know that I'm playing with fire? I think it'd be plenty of warning. That'd be enough warning that he should have ran from there and got as far away as he could. But instead he kept on playing. Wonder what they were wanting. Were they just wanting his secret of his power? It was more than that. Once they took away his power, what else did they do? They took out his eyes. Did you know that's what the devil has in mind for you? He wants to weaken you. He wants to take away the source of your strength and mine. And get us to the point that it's not that important anymore. You know, when you're weak and you're not feeling well, you had the flu and felt like you needed to go to work, pretty hard to get up and go to work when you have the flu. And when you're spiritually weak, and you're all down, it's pretty hard to get up and fight the devil. Pretty hard. The Lord wants you and I not to make a league in any way with the enemy. He wants us to be clear-sighted, to be clear-minded, to have a strong determination that I will not mix with the things that are ungodly. And if the devil does begin to get us to that weakened condition and finally gets us in his clutches, you know what he wants to do? And I've seen it spiritually, folks. Surely you've seen it too. The devil comes along and puts out their eyes where they cannot see clearly at all. They do not even recognize where truth, it begins to be such a wide open field. Well, what's wrong with that? And things at one time were very clear to them, all now is so far removed that they don't even know why they ever used to believe that. The devil's put out their eyes. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence. Now, when I read that scripture, a lot of times in our mind we're thinking, well, let's maintain confidence with each other. Folks, that's a good thing. But you know, I just can't maintain confidence just because I want to have confidence in you. And you can't maintain confidence in me just because you want to have confidence. So there are things that can damage confidence. Sadly, but it's a fact. If you and I would turn from following the Lord, any individual, If we would turn from following the Lord, there is only one result will happen. We will be separated from Christ and His body. There is nothing else we can do. That will happen. When we fail to follow the Lord, and we can say, well, we must extend love and fellowship. We can extend love. And we should always extend love. But you cannot have fellowship with the works of darkness. Can't do it. Amen. Now, folks, it is our duty to always support and pray and say, Lord, please have mercy on these folks. Awaken them. Now, the way confidence, not just confidence, but let me convert that word over into the area of unity. God wants confidence with one another will bring a unity. And God wants you and I to be able to have a unity. The unity is not created by us just desiring to have unity. Unity is found when you and I individually are at one with the Father. That's where it's found. It can't be created beyond that point. That is the way unity is created. Cast not away. And here I have written down, don't throw away your confidence. Don't throw away your unity. This is what I'm talking about. There's an individual responsibility that every one of us has. We cannot come here and say, well, see if we can't get along. It's good, it's pleasant, it's wonderful for brethren to dwell together in unity, but that's not man created. That's created by each individual being in tune with the Father. Lord, I want to be like You. And as we flow into His righteousness and seek His godliness and be led by His Holy Spirit, we are all going to be led into the unity of His body. And that goes way beyond anything that humans can create. That is godly. That is right. All right. I want to go on now. Have written down here, when the chill of indifference has crept into a marriage or into a relationship, maybe our relationship with the Lord, it becomes easy to break confidence. It becomes easy to break the confiding. In other words, in my marriage, if I allow my affections to grow cold, if I'm not spending time communing with my wife or my spouse, when we neglect that relationship, it becomes devalued. And it comes to the point that I don't see the need to really take care of it. In our relationship with the Lord, it's the same way. When I haven't spent time with the Lord, communing with Him, it doesn't take long till the value of that relationship begins to be diminished in my mind, and I don't take the time than I need to. I neglect it even more. And the confiding, and folks, isn't there a song, I'm abiding and confiding in His Word? God wants you and I to abide and confide in Him. He wants us to spend that time communing with Him, because that is the lifeblood of our relationship, of our holiness, of our life with Him. Unity is then broken when the confiding, when that relationship with the Lord is diminished. It comes down to the point that it's lost its value, that to the point that I don't need it anymore. And it slips away. Oh, cast not. Don't throw away your confidence. Cast not away your confidence. Don't cast away your unity. Unity with each other, yes. But all it begins first. Don't cast away your unity with the Lord. Don't cast away that sweet communion with the Lord. Because if you lose it there, you've lost it everywhere else. That's where it blooms from. You see, God, He calls to all souls. And He calls us away from the effects of this world and from the direction of this world, from the mindset of the worldly minds. God calls us away from that. He comes by and says, come unto Me. Yes. And he said, when we come unto Him, folks, we are leaving that land where I was born, that land of my nativity. Oh, and then we come to another land. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. That one who is born of Christ, he is no longer. He is born in Him now. He's not born of the world. He's born in Christ. And that's what God wants you and I to be born again. Not after the things of the flesh, but after the things of the Spirit. Godliness and righteousness. That's what He wants to give you and I. And He provided through His Son that you and I can be saved. Now, He wants to call us. And this is the church. It's not this building or us just deciding to get together here, but the church are all those who have heard His voice and have left all sin's dominion and have come and heard the sweet sound of His voice and followed and pursued Him. Where dost thou, dear shepherd, resort? I want to be there. I need You, Lord. It's more than just forgiveness, too. Oh, the Lord loves to forgive the penitent heart. He loves to do that. But folks, He doesn't just want to forgive. He wants to lead on.
Yes.
And oh, His church is made up a whole lot of people who are passionately hungry for the things of God. Not made up of people who have decided, this relationship really doesn't need, it's not that important, and maybe it's not relevant in 2011. I want to tell you today, holiness still applies today, and God still calls you and I away from ourselves unto His righteousness yet today in 2011. And all His dear precious bride still loves to lean on His bosom. She still does. And I'm one of those she's. I want to lean on His bosom. I want to be one of those that comes up and sits on His knee, says, teach me, Father, of Your ways. And all sometimes He will reveal to me a little bit of who I am. And when He does that, folks, sometimes I'm so ashamed. Because probably you've already seen who I am. It just took God a long time to show me who I am. And I thank You for Your mercy. And I thank You for Your prayers. And that's part of what God, we're supposed to be supportive of one another like that. Don't get me wrong. But all this is the key. This is the defining what we find in every one of God's children. It's the passion and the hunger, Lord, I want to be like You. And God wants every one of us here today to pursue after His righteousness. Over in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. This is the 9th verse. There's a few points here in this chapter. I won't read it all, but we're going to read a few scriptures here. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. Excuse me. The 10th verse says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." That lets me know that every one of us, not just me, but every one of us, we have a responsibility. We are going to appear before God. Have you let that sink into our minds? The day that you will appear before the Lord, have you thought about that? It does us good to think about that. It might be a little fearful, but it does us good to think about that. We should consider that I must appear. I will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That's a sobering thought. But it's a good thing to think about. It causes me to be careful about life. It would cause me, if I always think about that, it would cause me not to try to take advantage of you in a carnal way. It would cause me if your billfold was laying down there with $1,000 in it, it would cause me to leave that laying right there. It would cause me to seek your good. If I always am thinking that I must appear, I will appear before the judgment seat of Christ. I'm going to do that. It would cause me to seek your good. It would cause me also, when I pillow my head at night and I recognize there's people that I know, that I care about, it would cause me to, and I know that they're not ready to meet the Lord, it would cause me to say, oh Lord, please go deal with their souls. It would cause me to do that. It would cause me to seek your good. It would cause us to love one another. If we realize we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, it would cause you and I to be different people in this world. Next point, in the 14th verse, the love of Christ constrains us, me. What does that mean? The love of Christ constrains me. Constrains us. The love of Christ, sometimes that's an abstract thought in our mind, and we kind of leave it out there, and we've heard about the love of God. God is love. Maybe it was one of the first verses we learned as a child. God is love. Or Jesus wept. Something like that. And maybe it's become so commonplace that I don't relate to it very well, but I want to tell you, there ought to be a personal realization that I begin to understand the magnitude of God's love. I want to tell you just a little bit. I want to relate just to help us to understand this maybe a little bit better. You and I, those that have children, we love our children. There's something put within all of our hearts that if we see something coming, danger coming to our child, we are going to go there and protect them. We don't want that to happen. There's something fierce rises up in a mother or a father. If you see somebody trying to violate your child, something that is damaging and destructive, there's something rises up. That I'm not going to let that happen. God put it there. There was a man one time that had a son that he waited for 100 years. And he got it. Finally. Lord promised it a long time ago. And he got the child. Precious son. Oh, I'm sure as the child was growing, there were times they had this wonderful times of communicating back and forth. And then there was a day that the Lord came to Abraham and said, could you give him back to me? I want you to give him back to me. And I believe that in my heart, if I had to try to put myself in Abraham's shoes, it would have been very, very difficult for me to take thy son, thine only son, and take him and lead him up on the mountain and say, we're going to sacrifice to the Lord. And I couldn't even share with him. He told him, he said, Father, here's the wood. Where's the sacrifice? And he said, the Lord will provide. They got up there and they built the altar. And Abraham finally had to say, son, it's you. I want to tell you folks, that's hard. He took him and the son respected and had confidence in his father enough that I believe he let him bind him and put him on that altar. And then he raised the knife and was going to bring it down. And the Lord said, stop. But then there was another only son. Years later, 2,000 some years ago, that came to this earth innocent. He didn't do anything to deserve the cross of Calvary. Didn't do anything at all to deserve that. But he came here for one purpose. Expressly, this one purpose. Among others, he wanted to empower you and I. But he wanted first to save us. You see, you and I, because the righteousness of God has been offended All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned, everyone has turned to his own way. Then the rest of that scripture says, but the Lord has laid on him your iniquity. You and I deserve death. You and I do not deserve to be allowed to live in eternity. You and I deserve his righteous judgment would be to cause you and I to be consigned to a devil's hell from now on. But there was one who came to Calvary, an only son. And that day, as the knife was suspended, it was raised, and it came down. It didn't stop that day, folks. Now, I want to tell you now, God is love. When you deserve to die, and He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I want to tell you now, God is love. Can you understand it a little bit better? For the love of God has hemmed me in. How can I say that differently? Has put loving boundaries around my life. Has put me in a place where righteousness can dwell in my heart. Has cut me off from the evil influences of the world that would come and destroy my soul. The love of God holds me to His bosom. The love of God keeps me from the pursuits of unholy things. The love of God does that. Oh, don't cast away your confidence. Don't throw away this valuable thing that we have with the Lord. Don't throw away this communing with the Lord. Don't throw it away. Don't let indifference be part of our life. Careless selfishness. Just pursuing my own ways. And folks, entertainment. We all have some diversions of life that the Lord allows us to enjoy. He didn't tell us we had to be we didn't always have to stand around and just kind of be sober and sad. No. The life of a Christian suits me, and I'm happy and redeemed and free. I like living for the Lord. But there are some things of entertainment that the Lord wants us to be careful with. The love of Christ puts some boundaries in my life. Because I recognize not only that I am going to stand before the august majesty of heaven, not only that I and you will stand, we will, everyone, appear before the Lord, before the judgment seat of Christ. That's going to happen. Not only that, and that's a good effect. That's a good thing that we should think about and keep before us. But oh, there's something even greater. Yet show I unto you a more excellent way. There's this love. There's this love factor. There's this thing when I began to recognize what Christ did on Calvary and what I really deserved. And how that when the cup was passed to Him, He drank it. Oh, the cup of the indignation of God's wrath was poured out on Him on Calvary, and that's what I deserved. And now when I see that, and I recognize that He took my place, the love of God constrains me. It causes me to not take this thing lightly. It causes me to say, oh, Father, I'm so sorry I ever cost you that much. Oh, but help me to be like you now. The love of Christ does something. It constrains me. It motivates me. It doesn't leave me lackadaisical. It doesn't leave me in a world of malaise. Because the love of Christ inspires my heart. Oh, dear old brother Clifford Wilson used to have us sing this song, and I remember the first time he sang it to me. He looked at me and he said, give of your best to the Master. Give of the strength of your youth. You young folks, I'd like to look you in the eyes and be able to sing that to you now. Oh, give of your best to the Master. Give of the strength of your youth. Let the Lord call you. Listen to His voice. Be moved by the love of God.
Amen.
I'm praying for the Lord to call ministers, this group of young folks.
Yes.
And don't sit there in your seat and say, well, he's talking about that one next to me. No, I'm talking about you.
Yes.
Would to God that everyone are prophets. We need young folks, though, who have God first in them. Young folks, I don't want to just pick on you, but yes, you too. Every one of us. Put God first.
Yes.
Let the love of God motivate. Let the love of God cut off the things that are ungodly.
Yes.
Let the love of God put boundaries in our life. Folks, when I'm really captivated by His love, some of these other things lose their importance in my life. Some of these other things just slip away because, not just because they're so evil, but because I just don't need that anymore. I found something better. The love of God, the love of Christ, constrains me. Now, 18th verse, maybe 17th verse. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things now bloom and come from God. It's inspired. From whence cometh strifes and envies among you? Isn't it from, where does influence come from? Is it from the Lord? No. That influence is not of God. But all there, that one who is in Christ, the life of Christ is being formed in him. The things, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself. Who has broken down and who has built a bridge? How can I say? Who has spanned the gulf that separated us? That has separated us from God. The Lord Himself has reconciled, has brought us together, made us where you and I can come and sit together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus. God has made it so you and I can come here. What are you looking? Are you looking for entertainment when you come here? You come to the wrong spot. But if you want to make heaven, if you want to hear some truth that will help you go there, you come on. You hunger and thirst after righteousness, and I want to tell you, you'll be filled. The Lord will feed your soul. But oh, if you want to hang on to the world, if you want to still satisfy the desires of the flesh and still say, well, I want to be a Christian. I want... Folks, you have to make your decision. Because no man can serve two masters. If you end up trying to serve the world and still to hold on to the name of Christianity, you know what you're going to do? You're going to hate one. And guess which one you're going to hate? Christianity. Unless the Lord gets a hold of your heart and you turn your heart to the Lord, well then you're going to hate the world.
That's right.
All things are of God, who has reconciled us unto Himself by Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. What this means to you and I, as the Lord has made a way that we, with all of our problems, all of our human failings, the Lord has made a way that we can be reconciled unto Him. That salvation can come to the heart. That new creatures can replace the old man that's there. There's going to be a baptism this afternoon, good Lord willing. If time goes on, there's going to be a baptism. Folks, what that is meaning, that man, that individual is going to come and he's going to testify to us all by his actions that the old man is getting buried.
Yes.
You know what that means? He's down there and If the testimony is he's down there and I want to leave him there. Not picking him up anymore. The old man's diet is dead. Not interested in the old man anymore. Folks, if you don't come to Christ with that desire in your heart, I'm leaving all the world to follow Jesus, then you're not going to get saved. You need to leave it all behind. All things are of God. The ministry now of reconciliation, to wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, but committing unto us the word of reconciliation. In other words, what he's saying here is that you and I deserved the penalty of death, the penalty of eternity away from the Lord, the penalty of hell. We deserved that. But God, not imputing the trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. There is a way of salvation that the Lord has for every one of us. Now then, we are ambassadors of Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled. Did you hear Brother Ed last night? Did you hear the invitation? Message after message, ministers have tried to say, oh, come to the Lord.
Yes.
Come and be saved. We say it in so many different ways, but ultimately, it's a call to come to the Lord.
Yes.
Come, be reconciled unto the Lord. Turn away from the things that would be destructive. Turn away from the things of the world. Turn away from the sinful notions of the old man. Reject that and be reconciled to the Lord through His Son, Jesus Christ. Be ye reconciled unto God. For He hath made Him to be sin for us. You know what that means? The sin that I had was hung on Calvary. Who did no sin. Neither was gall found in His mouth. He didn't deserve a thing that He took. But He looked. He loved, folks. But He looked at you and I and knew we were absolutely helpless. And who for the joy that was set before Him. Oh, I believe it gave Him great joy to realize that if I pay this price, this one can go free. They won't have to be tortured by the things of the devil, the things of the flesh. They don't have to be tortured, but they can go free. For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Where's your pursuit today? Are you interested? Do you love the world? Will you selfish be? When the Lord provides everything for thee, will you still refuse? Won't you come and bow? Give your heart and life to His service now. Don't allow the coldness of the world. Don't allow the devil to draw us away. Don't allow the chill. Don't allow your relationship with the Lord to experience the chill, the coldness of indifference. Let the Lord implant again a real vibrance within our heart. All we want to see, Brother Ed used the term last night, breakthrough.
Yes.
We want to see breakthrough. We want to see breakthrough and breakout. We want to see the Lord inspiring again all of our hearts to a vibrance, to a hunger, to a passion that goes beyond just a careless, well, you know, we're Church of God. No, it goes way beyond that statement. Church of God are those who are hungering and thirsting after righteousness, who are following the Lord. That name out there doesn't mean anything if we don't have it in here. This is where the Church of God is. And as I passionately, oh Lord, take me by the hand, I want to follow You. And when we follow Him, we will find that the path He leads us is away from the carnal pursuits of this world.
It'll be toward godliness and righteousness, holiness. And as I take His hand and He leads me down that path, and you take His hand, we won't have to worry about, well, what are we going to believe here today? Is this where we stand? No, we know where we're standing. I'm standing right where He's leading me. And we look around and the Lord's teaching you that too, bro. Wednesday night comes along. Somebody comes in here and they stand up with a burning testimony. Oh, I've been seeking the Lord today, been having some needs, and the Lord has revealed some things to me. And oh, I want to share with you this scripture that the Lord, oh, it's been a blessing to me. And oh, you stand up and maybe the tears run down your face and it meant something special to you. And other saints are sitting over here looking and say, oh, that's just what direction the Lord's leading me to.
Amen.
That's the unity. Don't cast it away. Don't despise it. Don't carelessly say, well, that's not worth much. Because folks, if we lose that personal, close walk with the Lord, we've lost it all. May as well go ahead and paint out their second Church of God. Because we're not the first. But God wants you and I to be the Church of God.
Amen.
And that means being in tune with Him, following Him with all my heart, all of our hearts. Pray for me. I want to make heaven my home.